Let's get back to some of the telltale signs then, Marshall. As we approach what you believe to be a 2012 deadline, give or take, I want you to tell us what we can expect in terms of some of these events that will be affecting this planet as this so-called object comes by.
Okay, first let's talk about, the first issue everybody wants to know is when. What I can tell you is that the government, they could be seeing it right now for all we know.
I don't believe it. I think astronomers, amateur astronomers, would have pointed it out to us. So I don't think they've seen it yet. That's my guess.
My guess, and I'm the same way, my feeling is they'll get about anywhere from a 12 to 18 month lead time on it. We've done, a lot of the people that are, you know, looking at Nibiru, and they're giving it a velocity that it's going too fast for an orbit. It would, you know, it would be a rogue object, just fly right through the solar system.
Could it be a comet?
It could be anything. It is a captive. In other words, if we're saying that the basic premise of this thing is that it's something that's in an orbit and it's coming around, it's a comet, it's an asteroid. When we developed three basic scenarios when we looked at this.
And what were they? What are they?
And the first one is what I call a benign flyby. And a benign flyby is it never really comes close enough to the Earth
to cause any
anomalies, cause any problems. And, you know, this is something Sitchin said the ancients did at one time, used to welcome it as a harbinger of good things.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So let's say that's one option. It comes back as a harbinger of good things. There's another option where it comes close enough to the Earth to cause a series of regional catastrophes. And I call this the individual initiative.
And what kind of catastrophes might they be?
Quakes, tsunamis. If you're talking earthquakes, say 8, 9.
Richters.
Richters, right. You're talking San Andreas, Ring of Fire, volcanism, weird weather patterns, a lot of hectic stuff. Not enough to knock civilization on its knees.
Right, just enough to cause a few problems.
Right, well, okay. A lot of problems, but in other words, we'll still be able to function.
All right.
We'll be able to, you know, hobble ourselves together. It'll be a wartime footing.
All right, that's possibility number two.
That's possibility number two, and then in the book that I wrote, God's Child Covenant, Return of Nibiru, that's the scenario I chose for that book.
You're being nice to us.
Yes.
Or easy on us.
You don't want scenario three.
Which is?
I call that, scenario three is survival of the species. I mean, to me, if it's an extinction level event, why talk about it? No one's going to be around to appreciate the conversation.
Maybe not.
But in the third scenario, what we really said is, okay, let's define a worst case. And to kind of help your listeners visualize this, let's think in terms of Nibiru, Earth, and the Moon. And think about first the distance from the Earth to the Moon. Multiply that by 17. And say that this is the closest that Nibiru is going to come as it comes around the sun to the Earth. Now, at that distance, if Nibiru is behaving like an asteroid, then it is going to be as big and as bright in the sky as our moon. If, on the other hand, Nibiru is acting like a comet, it has a coma and a tail, it is going to be as big and as bright as our sun.
Which is huge.
That's right. Now, that's just the visual part of it. Now let's talk about tidal gravitational forces. Now, you know, again, I said I live near the sea, and I'm used to high tide, low tide. All right?
This is no high tide like you've ever seen before, I guess.
That's right. It's the mother of all high tides. Because keep this in mind. If the moon were to disappear tomorrow, the entire surface of the Earth would collapse about 18 inches.
Just get sunk right in.
We would just, that's it, sink right in, and just imagine the fun we'd have with that. On the other hand, here you have Nibiru. It's conservatively, let's say, it's four times the size of the Earth. This is going to be massive. And so what we'll have is we're going to have magnitude 8 and 9 quakes rippling around the globe like a wiggling jello mold. We're going to have, as the oceans that are facing Nibiru, we're talking about, are going to have 100-meter swells, tsunamis, floods. The devastation is going to be so extensive that we're looking at a situation where it's not even going to be a matter of, if you built a bunker.
Is this
your dumb luck if you survive?
Is this extinction type?
In this particular scenario, it's near extinction. There's enough of us left to repopulate the species.